Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeev Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Reuven Hoffman, and Barry Hoffman. We have two subjects we want to speak about on this week's program. The first involves the death of the traitor Shimon Peres, who was the prime minister, defense minister, foreign minister, held every position possible in Israel, a traitor to the Jewish people, and the crazy reaction of so many people to his death. We want to discuss who the real Shimon Peres was. And the second subject that we want to discuss is the latest insanity involving Donald Trump. We have a little bit more than a month to go until the election. Finally, the election will finally be over, believe it or not. I can't wait. I hate this election. It's a terrible election. But anyway, we're going to discuss the latest with Donald Trump. The fact that he reported on his 1995 tax returns that he lost almost $1 billion in just 1 year in 1995, proving that he's not a successful businessman, he's not anywhere near as wealthy as he claims to be, and that he has a lot to hide. He has a lot to hide, and that's why he's not releasing his tax returns. But anyway, let's start off with speaking about Shimon Peres. Shimon Peres was the Prime Minister of Israel twice. He was the Defense Minister of Israel. He was Foreign Minister of Israel. And he finally died at the age of 93 this past week. And the reaction to his death is really astonishing, because he was an absolute traitor to the Jewish people, a complete self-hating Judenrat capo in every sense of the word. Let me just give you some highlights, including some things you may not know about Shimon Peres. Even people who follow this may not know this about Shimon Peres. When he was deputy defense minister in the 1960s, he advocated giving Iran Israeli nuclear reactors, sending Israeli nuclear reactors to Iran. Now, if Israel had done this, of course, everyone else in Israel said this is crazy and didn't want to do it. But if Israel had gone along with what Peres was advocating in the 1960s, if Israel had transferred its advanced nuclear reactor technology to Iran in the 1960s, Iran would have had nuclear bombs a long time ago. That would have been the key to Iran developing nuclear bombs a long time ago. So we would have had a nuclear Iran with the help of Israel, pointing nuclear weapons at Israel and the threat of a nuclear holocaust from Iran already, thanks to what Peres would have done if they had gone along with his proposal. That's just one thing. In 1981, Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein was building nuclear bombs in Osirik, in one plant in Osirik. The Israeli Air Force, defying U.S. pressure and world pressure, defying all the nations of the world, the Israeli Air Force was ordered to go and destroy that nuclear reactor. And they did. And they were condemned by it. They were condemned for it. And they defied the world, because Israel still had just a tiny, tiny bit of independence left in 1981. It was discovered soon after that if Israel had not destroyed that nuclear reactor in 1981, within months, Saddam Hussein would have had nuclear bombs. Saddam Hussein would have been able to have a nuclear arsenal. And Saddam Hussein had promised at that time that he was going to use nuclear bombs to incinerate Israel, to exterminate the Jews and incinerate Israel. Can you imagine giving someone who's speaking like that, a lunatic dictator like that, who gassed his own people, who carried out a war with Iran, in which 2 million of his fellow Muslims were slaughtered? Imagine giving him nuclear bombs. Shimon Peres condemned Menachem Begin and the Israeli government for bombing and destroying Iraq's nuclear reactor in 1981. He condemned it. He was against it. So we would have had a nuclear Iraq, and we would have had a nuclear Iran two countries that slaughtered 2 million of their fellow Muslims, already committed a Holocaust against their fellow Muslims, and promised to perpetrate a Holocaust against the Jews of Israel. Both of them would have become nations armed with nuclear weapons aimed at Israel. Can you imagine a Middle East like that? And of course, if they would have achieved nuclear weaponry, would have had nuclear weaponry, then all the other Muslim countries in the Middle East would have gotten nuclear weapons. There probably would have been a nuclear holocaust by now. I mean, you have all these crazy Muslim dictatorships getting nuclear weapons. All of these dictatorships sponsoring Muslim terrorist organizations. By now, there probably would have been a nuclear holocaust. That's what Shimon Peres was advocating. Letting Iraq build nuclear bombs, which they were very close to completing when Israel destroyed their nuclear program in 1981, and giving Iran in the 1960s Israel's nuclear technology knowledge and a full Israeli nuclear reactor, which would have given them a tremendous advantage in terms of the building of eventual building of nuclear weapons over the years. Of course, Peres is best known for what he did in Oslo. In 1993, he conducted secret negotiations with the PLO Nazi terrorists. The PLO at the time was universally hated and reviled, not only by Israel. The United States and all the European countries regarded the PLO as a terrorist organization. It was officially listed as a terrorist organization by the United States, by European countries. Everyone regarded them as terrorist mass murderers. For Israel to begin negotiations with the PLO would be like if the President of the United States went to meet Osama bin Laden when he was alive, or went to meet the leader of ISIS. The PLO was like ISIS is to the United States today. And Peres secretly started back-channel negotiations, illegal negotiations, because it was against the law in Israel to meet with the PLO. It was against the law in the United States to meet with the PLO. And Peres, breaking the law, went and started these negotiations with the PLO terrorists and with the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat. And as a result of the Oslo agreements, we now have half of Judea and Samaria has been handed over to the PLO terrorists. All of Gaza eventually was handed over to the PLO terrorists. And the danger, the tremendous danger that a Palestine state will be created, this tremendous existential threat to Israel, is something that continues to haunt the Jews of Israel to this day. 1,800 Jewish men, women, and children were murdered because of the Oslo agreements. 1,800 Jews were slaughtered because of Oslo. Just think of what type of number that is. 3,000 Americans were slaughtered on 9/11 in a country that is, the United States in population is about 50 times the size of what of the population of Israeli Jewry. So 1,800 Jews in Israel is tens of thousands, would be the equivalent of many tens of thousands of Americans being slaughtered by ISIS, let's say, and then you have the President and Secretary of State secretly negotiating with ISIS to hand over the United States to ISIS. I mean, that's literally what was going on with Peres. He wants to hand over the heartland of biblical Israel to the PLO terrorists, and now all the politicians, thanks, he paved the road. It was unthinkable at that time. He broke the ice, he paved the road for this insanity. And now all the politicians in Israel, from Netanyahu on down, are committed to this insane, evil process that endangers Israel's very existence. Under the Oslo agreements, 80,000 armed PLO, Fatah, Muslim, Nazi terrorists were welcomed into Israel, including Yasser Arafat. Arafat and 80,000 armed PLO, Fatah, Nazi terrorists were brought into Israel. I'm not allowed to set foot in Israel. They were brought into Israel, welcomed into Israel, and half the country was handed over to them. And many Jews in it, and the Jews on the left in Israel, they want to hand over the other half. When he was Prime Minister of Israel, after spilling all this Jewish blood, after all the terrible things he did, he proposed as Prime Minister of Israel, changing Israel from a Jewish state to an Arab state, making Israel an Arab state so that Israel could join the Arab League. The Arab League was formed in the 1940s, specifically with the intent purpose, with the declared purpose of destroying Israel. The Arab League promised. The Arab League is a collection of all 22 Arab states. And they promised openly when they were founded in the 1940s and since then to push the Jews into the sea, to finish Hitler's job, to exterminate the Jews of Israel, literally exterminate them, wipe Israel off the face of the earth. This is what they promised to do. This is why they were formed. And Shimon Persky, that was his real name, Shimon Persky, changed his name to Perez. He wanted Israel to join this Nazi organization called the Arab League. He wanted Israel to become an Arab country because he's ashamed, you know, he was ashamed of his Jewishness. He represents the Jews in Israel who are embarrassed to be Jews, who are embarrassed about the Jewish destiny, and who want to give up everything Jewish, all Jewish values. When Shimon Peres lost his race for Prime Minister of Israel in 1996, he said, the Jews defeated the Israelis. Hayehudim nitzchu et ha-Yisraelim. That means in Hebrew, the Jews defeated the Israelis. In other words, he represented the Israelis, not the Jews. He separates the concept of Jewish people from Israeli people. The Jews defeated the Israelis, the people who want to be Jewish, who believe in the Torah, who believe in Jewish tradition, who believe in a Jewish homeland and a Jewish state. Those people defeated Israelis like Shimon Peres, who want to assimilate, who want to give up being Jewish, who don't want to be Jewish, who don't want to be identified as Jewish. Self-hating Judenrat Kapo traitors like Peres. And he was their representative and he was saying, I was defeated, that means the Jews defeated the Israelis. That was his statement in 1996. So you can't get a more rotten, evil, vicious traitor than Shimon Peres. And the sick, disgusting Jews, who call themselves right-wing, who are eulogizing this monster and praising this monster and calling him an Israeli patriot. You know, you're the type of Jews that instead of making George Washington the first president of the United States when we had the 13 colonies, you wouldn't have elected George Washington as the first president of the United States. You would have banned him. You wouldn't have let him come to the United States. You would have banned him, just like you banned Rabbi Meir Kahana. You wouldn't have elected George Washington. You would have elected Benedict Arnold as the first president of the United States, and you'd be eulogizing Benedict Arnold. For those of you who don't know, Benedict Arnold was a spy for the British and was a traitor during the American Revolutionary War. He betrayed the United States, and he was a spy and a traitor. You would have made him the first president and been eulogizing him. That's what you people do. Yes, you people. Because I don't want to, you know, I hate to be identified with you. You make my skin crawl. Anyway, here we are, JTF and our movement in Israel. JTF in Hebrew is Koach Mesima Yehudi. As far as I can see, we're the only group that is saying the type of things that I'm telling you now to the Jews of Israel in Hebrew, with our Hebrew videos and our Hebrew posts and what we're saying on Facebook and on our Hebrew main page. As far as I can tell, we're the only people that are telling you the type of things that I'm exposing about Peres. Even though everybody knew that he was an extreme leftist, that he was a self-hating Jew, that he was a traitor. They know this, but they have to be nice to him now that he passed away. They weren't nice to Rabbi Meir Kahana in the same way when Rabbi Meir Kahana was murdered in cold blood because of them. But they have to be nice to Peres. They're all eulogizing him and lionizing him. If anything proves how crazy this generation is, if anything proves how desperately we need JTF in Israel to reach the Jews of Israel with this message, if anything proves it, it's this issue of the passing away of Shimon Peres. It's just unbelievable. That's one issue this week, and again, I hope that at least our fellow JTFers will understand that the monster, Perez, monster, who's responsible for the slaughter of thousands of Jews, for the serious injuries to thousands of Jews, and for brainwashing millions of Jews into believing that we can have so-called peace with the ISIS that faces Israel. The ISIS that Israel faces is the PLO and Fatah and the people that Perez started negotiations with. Anyone that believes that is insane, and millions of Jews who never believed that before, who never even dreamed of something like that happening. Millions of Jews were brainwashed by Perez when he started this evil process. So he's responsible for corroding the souls of millions of Jews, for literally slaughtering, physically, thousands of Jews who were murdered by the terrorists, the armed terrorists that he brought into Israel, and he gave them guns and armed them and trained them also. He gave them guns and armed them and trained them. And yes, Benjamin Netanyahu is continuing his policies. Benjamin Netanyahu now is doing the same thing that he would have done. The only blessing we have is that the Arabs, thank God, Baruch Hashem, it's a miracle, have been too stupid to accept Israel's offer to create a so-called Palestine state. Arab insanity and stupidity and intransigence is the only thing saving us from complete national suicide. This is Hashem's mercy. But we can't depend on that forever. Can't depend on that forever. The day may come when they'll say yes, and God help us if that day comes. So, our message is absolutely essential. It is vital that JTF reach as many people as possible. Right now, we're just reaching thousands of people. Thousands of people see our message and all the different things that we do, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or our main page. Thousands of people see our message. We need millions of Israeli Jews to see our message. But anyway, we have to reach as many people as possible. And hopefully we can influence things as much as possible. Never has JTF been more needed. Never has our message been more vital. The second subject I want to bring up is something else we've spoken to you a lot about, because it's a threat to Israel and to America and to the world. And that's the two terrible candidates we have running for president this year. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, I don't have to speak to you about her, because everybody who follows JTF, all of our followers, all of our supporters, are already against Hillary Clinton. You're all against her already, as you should be. But Donald Trump is a different story, because he's the so-called Republican candidate. And so many of you may think that he's... Many of you might have thought that he's better than Hillary Clinton. In fact, on most of the issues, he says he's even worse than her. Now we have the latest insane revelation about Donald Trump. We now learn that he reported on his 1995 tax returns that he lost $916 million, almost $1 billion, in just 1 year. And that was 21 years ago, when money, you know, the money was worth less now than it's worth now. Almost 21 years ago, he was already reporting losing almost $1 billion in just 1 year. In just 1 year. And he lost a lot of money throughout the 90s and 80s. He did all these crazy business schemes. He lost a lot of money over the years. He declared bankruptcy four times. And he stiffed all these other people. He stiffed all these people that were working for him. But anyway, in just 1 year, we know now just one of his tax returns, just the federal, just one of his federal tax returns, he lost almost $1 billion, $916 million, in just 1 year, 1995. So you can imagine the debt this guy has. Of course he doesn't want to release his tax returns. He's the first major party candidate for president not to release his tax returns since 1972. From the election of 1976 on, every single Republican and Democrat candidate for president has released their tax returns. He says he can't do it because he's under audit. Even Richard Nixon released his tax returns when he was under audit. So the "I'm under audit" excuse is baloney. Complete baloney. And in fact, he came up with many other excuses before then of why he wouldn't want to release it. All the excuses went out the window, so now this is the last one that he's leaning on. The fact is, he doesn't want to release his tax returns because he doesn't want us to see that he's not a multi-billionaire. He's not anywhere nearly as wealthy as he claims he is. He's not charitable and generous. He's someone who gives almost nothing out of his own pocket to charity. He's a complete fraud. A lot of his money comes from Russia and from Putin. His own son said so in 2012, which makes him extremely dangerous. He's like a puppet of Russia and a puppet of Putin. I mean, the danger of that is enormous. And apparently hasn't paid any income taxes for up to 18 years. For as much, but just with the $916 million loss, that's enough to claim, that's enough to make claims so that he won't have to pay any income taxes for a good 18 years. And of course, other years when he filed, he may have lost a lot more money than that. So who knows how long he hasn't been paying his taxes. So he hasn't even been paying any income taxes. He doesn't want you to see that. Because, you know, ordinary working class people have to pay taxes every year. Middle class people have to pay taxes every year. Even taxes you don't see that are taken out of your paycheck. I mean, you're paying tremendous taxes every year. Tremendous amount of taxes. And he calls himself a multi-billionaire and he doesn't pay any taxes now for 18 years. I mean, it's just, the whole thing is just unbelievable. It's just unbelievably farcical. He also doesn't want you to see his connections to organized crime figures, which he has had over the years. There's no doubt about it in the casino world that he's had dealings with organized crime figures. And you may say, well, but you can't run casinos unless you deal with organized crime. Who wants people like that as president of the United States? Who wants someone like that as president of the United States? He is compromised. He's dirty. He's corrupt. He's already been bought off by Putin and Russia. And you see his campaign self-destructing. His terrible debate performance. Oh, was he terrible in that debate. I mean, it was laughable. He was such a clown. Hillary Clinton is not even a good debater. She's not even a good debater. But she looked great compared to him. She slaughtered him. It was a disaster. He's asked questions about very serious foreign policy issues and he starts talking about how Rosie O'Donnell is fat and ugly. I mean, that's in effect what he was saying. I mean, he is such a clown. He is such a buffoon. I'm not running for dog catcher and I know 100 times more about foreign policy than he does. This is someone who talks nonchalantly about using nuclear weapons, who told people who came to advise him, he said to them, we have nuclear weapons, what's the point of having them if we don't use them? I mean, the guy is crazy. The guy spends all night tweeting about Miss Venezuela and Miss Universe and how she's Miss Piggy and how she's fat and how this one looks and that one looks and this woman's boob job looks awful, and she can't be a 10 because she's flat-chested. And she's a fat pig, and she's ugly, and she, did you see her face? I mean, you know, this is, and he continues like this, even while he's running for president, he can't control himself, he's out of control. If he can't control himself, because something was said about him by Miss Venezuela, or Miss Universe, if he can't control himself, and lies openly, I mean, just lie after lie after lie. What type of president would he be? You would risk putting someone like that in the White House, controlling nuclear bombs? Do you know that he can make the decision to use those nuclear bombs and no one can stop him? He doesn't need congressional approval. He doesn't need any approval. A president has the power by himself to launch a nuclear war, to slaughter hundreds of millions of people. A president has that power. This guy, in my opinion, I don't have any doubt that he has serious psychological problems to the point where his megalomania and his insane, obsessive compulsion about about trying to destroy anyone who in any way criticizes him. You know that he has been involved in 3,500 lawsuits in the past 30 years? Have we ever had a candidate for president who's been involved in 3,500 lawsuits? 3,500 lawsuits! I mean, you know, if even a wealthy person, if they're involved in 100 lawsuits in their lifetime, that's crazy. That's 100 lawsuits is a lot. 3,500 lawsuits. You know, he's involved in numerous lawsuits right now that he initiates. He's suing people left and right all over the place. And of course, they sue him. People sue him because he's a crook. They do work for him and he refuses to pay them. He's a crook. He makes them take, he makes them go to court. This is what you would risk putting in the White House? And Jews, my fellow Jews, and evangelical Christians and others who support Israel, don't you understand how dangerous this could be for Israel? Israel's a little country that doesn't understand that Hashem, that God is protecting Israel, that Israel doesn't have to give in to American pressure. A bully like this, using the power of the presidency of the United States, joining together with his friend Putin, they could gang up and bully Israel and say, look, you've got to create this so-called Palestinian state or else. You think Pipi Netanyahu would stand up to that type of pressure? Are you joking? Are you joking? God forbid that we be in a situation like that. Now, I don't think he's going to win the election. And I've said from the start, remember, there are two things I predicted. Since he declared last summer, there are two things I predicted. I said, number one, I think he probably will win the Republican nomination for president. You remember, we said we're supporting Ted Cruz. We're going to try to help Ted Cruz, but the odds are against Cruz. He has an uphill battle. I said this program after program after dozens and dozens of programs. I said, I think we're supporting Cruz, but the odds are against him. He has an uphill battle because the media was supporting Donald Trump. The media nonstop, day and night, was supporting Donald Trump because they knew he would be such a weak, disastrous, out-of-control candidate. They knew he was the only hope to elect Hillary Clinton, to elect someone as flawed as Hillary Clinton. They knew the only Republican who could give them a good shot at electing someone as unpopular as Hillary Clinton, the only one that could give them a shot at doing this was Donald Trump. So they promoted him day and night. Now they're turning on him, but they were supporting him for the nomination. They gave him publicity. It was like 24-hour a day. It was all day, all night, Trump, Trump, Trump. So we predicted he was going to win the Republican nomination at a time when the experts were saying, oh, no way, the polls are just an illusion. He's going to fall apart. There's no way the voters will accept this. No way. We thought that we told you all along that we thought he was going to win the nomination. We thought it was for real. So that has come true. We said we thought it's going to be Trump versus Clinton. That has happened so far. We also predicted at the time that if he wins the nomination, we think that Clinton will beat him. We think that Clinton will defeat him. That we're going to find out on November 8th if that's true. Don't forget the Trumpsters said since the beginning, you give him a chance to go against Clinton, he'll slaughter her. In fact, you can go on YouTube now and see there are numerous videos from his supporters saying, oh, he's going to beat her and all the polls and you'll see and he's going to win by a landslide. He was saying that he's going to win by a landslide. He said he would beat Clinton. It would be easy. Beating her would be easy. It would be a lot easier, he said, than the Republican primary race. So, we'll see. We'll see on November 8th if the Trumpsters are right or if JTF is right. JTF has said that we think Trump is going to lose. That we think he's the one candidate who's even worse than Clinton as a candidate. Clinton as a candidate is terrible. She's not a good speaker. She's not a good debater. She's corrupt. She's physically sick. And again, if we had had a decent, true conservative, eloquent conservative, good debater candidate like Ted Cruz, I think Ted Cruz would defeat Hillary. I think Ted Cruz in this election would have defeated Hillary Clinton. But now we've got Donald Trump, and I don't think he's going to win. But if he does, God forbid. Then you Trumpsters, boy, are you in for a rude awakening. He's going to betray you on every single issue. He's going to betray all of us. Because the only thing Donald Trump cares about is Donald Trump. Now, you know that we've been saying things that are often unpopular. Yes, I mean, you know, for our base, for us to stand against Trump at this point, is unpopular. It's unpopular for us to say, because we don't have a candidate to support in this race. We're saying the candidates are all terrible and there's nobody to support. That's our position. And that's not popular. That's never popular. You get attacked from all sides when you do that. At least if we had a candidate to support, at least we'd be together with the supporters of that candidate. That would be a little bit more of a secure position, a little more popular, a little more secure of a position to take. But we get it from everybody because we're against all the candidates. But we have to do what our conscience tells us is the right thing to do. Now, in a little bit over a month, the election's going to be over. Then we're going to get back to doing the normal things that we were involved in, the normal routine for the English language movement. The Hebrew language movement, not much has changed. The Hebrew language movement was still doing what we always did. But for the English language movement, the presidential election has been the main topic for the English language movement, because, for obvious reasons, because that's what dominates the news in terms of what will influence Israel from America. The English language movement aims to help Israel and help our fellow Jews in Israel from America. And the thing that will most influence what happens in Israel from America, how America will most influence Israel, is the election of the president. But in any event, I think you, our fellow JTFers, understand the importance of this message. Those of you who've been with us over the years, you know the importance of this message. So we need your help. We need your help now more than ever. We need four things. If we work together as a team, we can influence things, God willing. We can make a difference if we work together as a team. I don't know how much of a difference, that I don't know. People have free will. We'll see how much people, through their own free will, are influenced by our message. But the more people we reach, the stronger we are, the more people we're able to bring this message to, obviously the bigger an impact that we could have. So we need four things. We need your help in four areas. Number one, we need your prayers. Prayers are very important. Please pray for the success of what we're doing. Secondly, for you to be active on our English and Hebrew language main pages. Our English language main page is jtf.org. The Great Shlomo has 8 updates every single day. Articles are posted. News items are posted. Opinion pieces are posted. Videos are posted. 7 or 8 of them are posted every single day. So it's certainly worthwhile. It's the best news site. I believe it's the best news site on the internet. JTF.org. The Hebrew language main page is hayamin.org. If you speak Hebrew, please become active and promote the Hebrew language main page. Hayamin.org. Ze ha'atar shelanu bisfat ha'ivrit. That is our English, that is our Hebrew language site. Third, please promote our Hebrew and English videos everywhere that you can. Please promote them. On YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, in forums, everywhere you can, please promote those videos. And in every way that you can. Liking, favoriting, sharing, everything that you could do, all the things that are available to you. Emailing them to people, whatever you could do helps. That's number three. Number four, of course we need your financial support. If we had more financial support, if we had a decent sized budget, we could reach all the people of Israel, literally reach all the people of Israel, and then we would have a whole different situation. We would change Jewish history. We would literally change Jewish history. But we have to work with the budget that we have, the limited budget we have, and the more that we get, every check, every money order, every cash donation makes a big difference. And God bless the great JTFers that are sending us money orders, checks, cash donations to our post office box. God bless you. God bless you. If you want to, out of convenience, instead donate with your credit card online, you can go to our PayPal account. You'll find the link to our PayPal account on the Hebrew main page, hayamin.org. On top, there's a button in English that says donate. It's the only thing in English that you'll see on the Hebrew. Everything else on the Hebrew main page is in Hebrew, of course. But the word donate, big donate button on top on the Hebrew main page. You can go there and very conveniently donate with your credit card, and if that's what you prefer to do for the sake of convenience. Let's work together as a team. Let's expose the truth. Let's tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because that's our obligation. That's what we have to do. That's what we're in this world for. And if we do that together, we can make this a better world. Be'ezrat Hashem, with God's help. Until next week for JTF, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.